been a frequent guest on the radio program for years. He's come by to see us, and it's always good anytime Dobie Maxwell stops by. Dobie has had an amazing story about a bank robbery. And he would come in here and he'd say, I need to talk to you about it. He'd talk about the bank robbery. And we said, well, let's hear the bank robbery story. He'd go, well, no, we don't have time to tell the bank robbery story.
So, need time. Yeah.
So one day we set aside an hour and we said, okay, Dobie, come in. You talk straight into that. I said, Dobie, come in and tell the bank robbery story. And he told it. It was like a 35-minute story. Yep. When you sat down and told it. And when we heard it, we went, that needs to be a book. It needs to be a movie. And here it is. It's now a book. We say good morning to Dobie Maxwell.
Good morning, Stone. Good morning, Double T. I got to say, honestly, and I hope this is being recorded, this is my favorite radio show in America, Canada, the Virgin Islands, and South America. You guys have always treated me great. I love being here, and thank you guys for those nice
words.
Do
you have one that you're, like, better in Mexico?
No, not Australia, Mexico, nothing like that. You guys are it.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
I appreciate that. It's real. Your budget's low, just like mine. We're on the same wavelength. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. How long have we known each other?
Well, you were in Terre Haute when I met you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the basement.
Yeah. So it's 20 years.
20 years, easy.
Because I've been here 16. Uh-huh. So it's a little crazy.
Now, you also did you work in Champaign-Urbana for a while?
I worked in Champaign-Urbana.
Was that before or after? Because I don't remember.
That was before.
Okay, because, I met you in Terre Haute.
I worked in Champaign, then I worked in Lafayette, then I went to Terre Haute.
Okay. I thought.
Did you ever do shows at the Knickerbocker
in
Lafayette?
Yes, yeah. I did. Honky tonks, gin joints, smoke filled hell holes. That's where I work.
Smoke filled fornicatory.
Oh, I thought I couldn't say that anymore.
No, you can say that.
It's family broadcasting. I had to clean it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's funny because there's just certain things that Dobie says that I've always loved that
Thank
just
you,
stick
buddy.
In my head. And fornicatoriums was one of them. It's always been that way. So the book is called Monkey in the Middle.
Monkey in the Middle, yes.
I haven't listened because the story, we always rerun it whenever we're on vacation. We'll pick a day and we'll rerun Dobie's story. I remember it was your buddy Timbo.
Yeah.
That was his name, was Timbo.
Uh-huh.
And I remember he was dressed as a gorilla and he was robbing a bank. This could have been the second time.
Yes, it
was. The second time he robbed a bank. First time he robbed a bank, y'all went to Vegas.
Right.
And then the second time he robbed a bank, he was in a gorilla suit holding balloons.
Uh-huh. A tuxedo, gorilla suit, and I was across the street watching him go in.
Yeah, and you didn't know what he was doing.
I knew what he was doing. He said he had a suit, or he had a costume that I would like. I said, I don't really like it, but
I mean, did he tell you he was robbing a bank the second time?
Yeah, he did.
He said, I'm going to rob this bank.
I'm going to rob the bank again. The first time I didn't know about it, and we were in a car from Milwaukee to Vegas, and he had $105,000 of stolen bank money in the trunk of the rental car in my name, because I'm the only one that had a rental car, or a credit card, rather.
Uh-huh.
So my cousin was 21 at the time. He was a union carpenter. So the three of us were driving from Milwaukee to Vegas. He had the money. None of us knew. Timbo knew, but my cousin and I did not know.
He had robbed a bank, and then you got in the car and you left.
Yeah. So we picked him up, and he had these two big things of gym bags. I said, we're only going for a week. What are you, Thurston Howell III? He goes, oh, I brought some extra stuff with me.
Right,
yeah, he did.
Right.
105 G's, stolen bank money. And he went out to Vegas. He was the head of security at the bank, so he laundered it. He went to the casino while my cousin and I were sleeping. You know, we had one room, three guys, two beds. We slept in shifts.
Mm-hmm.
While we were sleeping, he went to there. He said he played some blackjack, won or lost, bad money out. He knew he was head of security. He knew the mark money, spent that, good money in, cash in the chips. He was golden.
Everything was great.
Everything was great.
So this happened when?
The first bank robbery happened in 1991, December 16th. 1991. And I remember that because the Bears kicked the snot out of the Packers on December 15th. And that's what set it off. As the Bears beat the Packers, I lost my radio job up in Milwaukee. I was miserable. It was cold. I was living in his house, one of those no money down, you know, leprosy house shacks, the dollar down government cheese piece. So I'm thinking, I'm going to put a bullet in my head. I have to go someplace warm. Will you go with me? We'll call some people. We'll have a guy's adventure. He goes, where do you want to go? I said, well, how about Las Vegas? We've never been there before. Okay, let's do that. So I'm robbing the bank. He went and did it. Or I'm renting the car, rather. He robbed the bank.
And now, did he say at that point in time, I'm going to go rob a bank so we can go to Vegas?
No. He was head of security. He was laid off. They put the $6 an hour rent-a-cops in there. I remember he was angry about it. He was on unemployment. He says, you know what? We do a good job for what the money that they pay us. Those $6 an hour apes, and he called them monkeys. He goes, those monkeys is going to let someone rob that bank. And then I didn't hear about it after that because he got laid off, and it was 3 or 4 months into that. So I knew he had nothing to do. That's why I called him. Let's go someplace warm. So I did not have any idea the first time that he robbed it. Didn't tell me until almost a year later. Almost a full year went by. And he bought a couple more houses. I thought, you know what? He's one of the people that got out of these courses. Uh-huh. He's got like 4 or 5 houses. And so, yeah, that house you're living in, I bought that with stolen bank money. So you're in this really deep. And the FBI is coming after me really badly. And if they come to you, I just want to tell you that I did it and you didn't. And you can you know, point the finger at me. I said, not only are they going to point the finger at you, my shoulder will be out of joint pointing the finger. I will need rotator cuff Tommy John surgery from pointing you out.
From the time he robbed the bank till the time everything went down and he got caught and went to prison and you had to testify and do all that stuff, how much time?
Almost 7 years.
7 years. So 1998.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. When did the Packers, the 96 season, so 97? Okay. Yeah, it was the December of that year, December of 97.
So 7 years go by.
Yes.
And as you're in the middle of this thing, just got your world's got to be just flipping out.
Yeah, it totally was. And he told me the thing, and after a while, I thought, okay, he told me he robbed the bank. I'm thinking I'm going to go back to this check. There's going to be helicopters hovering. There's going to be SWAT teams. Right. And Starsky and Hutch are going to come in there and tear me away. And nothing happened. Days became weeks, became months. I know he robbed the bank. He knows he robbed the bank. Nobody said anything.
So at one point, did you think, well, this is just going to fly by with nothing happening?
About 3-4 months into it.
Okay.
I was scared for a few weeks. I really was, and then nothing happened.
Right.
And then he started getting cocky. He would send away for magazine subscriptions, Sports Illustrated, under Tim D-E capital R-O-B-B-E-R. Tim DeRobber.
Roberts. Come on.
I'm not kidding you.
Why would he do that?
Because he was. That's how he was. He was just a cocky... And he was funny in a way, but he was very ballsy, man. And he was an adrenaline junkie. He liked skydiving out of planes. Uh-huh. He liked crotch rocket motorcycles. He liked playing, you know, street hockey. Anything that's on the edge and adrenaline, that was him.
That was what he was all about.
Since we were kids.
So you, I'm even trying to remember when you came in and told us the story.
I don't remember when it was.
It was, you know, obviously
after
2000.
That, yeah.
After 2000, everybody told you this needs to be a book.
Yeah, but I couldn't tell anybody for
Needs
years.
To be a movie.
The whole time, I'm trying to go out and be Mr. Funny Man on stage, and during the day, I'm calling my lawyer, and I'm on the phone for 6 hours trying to get out of bank robbery charges. There was about a 3 to 4 month period when I thought I was going to go to jail for 4.5
no
years.
No kidding.
Yeah, my lawyer said innocent people go to jail all the time. They want a butt in jail. They don't care if it's yours or his. They want to close the case.
Especially if you rob a bank in Manitowoc County.
There you go. I won't be as big as that story.
No, not at all. So when did you actually sit down and start to write this book?
About a year after the whole thing went down, after the trial and the whole deal, because I was at a radio station working. I had the three magic words you never want to hear: shut the door.
Uh-huh.
I got fired again, and you guys know how long you've been getting up at 4 in the morning. It took me about a year to get used to getting up at this time. And when you get fired, it takes about 2 days to get used to going to sleep again. It's really weird how that works. So I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm in the groove of getting up early. The smart thing to do would be just to write down all the details that I can write. So I get up at whatever, 3:34 in the morning, and I would literally type all day long. Eat, sleep, type. That was it. And it took about 2 weeks, and I had about 160 pages. And I didn't set out to write a book. I'm thinking, I'm just going to write down everything, all the details, all about what happened. I'm not going to judge it or edit it. This is what it is. And that was the best thing that I ever did. Because as life goes on, believe it or not, you look back and you say, okay, the details get fuzzy on anything in your life.
Yeah.
Relationships, you guys show, you can look back. Remember when we started? When was that?
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of it gets fuzzy. So that really was the backbone of it. And I put it away for years. And I started it again and started writing it. And there's got to be at least a dozen rewrites. And then I have an editor. He looked at it and he said, okay, we're going to get this thing done. And I gave him that rough draft. He goes, that's the best thing you ever did. He says, because he picked out this, okay, more about this, less about that, let's cut this. And he put it in order. That's what saved my butt.
So you have it all written down right then. But there had to be that, what finally kicked it in to say, I got to finish this. I got to make this thing happen.
I don't know. It was just one of those things. It's been laying there as long as I've got 19 unfinished projects. You know, people like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, half of this, five of that. I say, okay, what's the biggest thing that's been festering the longest? That bank robbery story. I have to get it out. So I talked to my buddy. He's an editor. He's an assistant dean at Marquette University. He's in his 70s. I helped him do some magic tricks. I wrote some jokes for his magic show that he likes to do. And he said, I can really help you here. I've got 30 books on college grant seeking. I can help you edit it, but you don't give me a chapter every 9 months. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it. So all of 2014, probably it took him almost 11 months. I would do a chapter. He would be editing it. I'd be writing the next one. And he was really great because, you know, you told me that your friend robbed a bank. I know you. I didn't know the story. He called it a riveting page turner.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I've never read a story like this in my life. So that took a long time to edit. And then life gets in the way, and I couldn't do it for a while. And then I found out this year when I had it done, it's the Chinese Year of the Monkey. this is cosmic. That's 1 in 12. So 12 years ago, I was working at the radio station in Chicago. I wasn't ready to have it done yet. I guess this is it. It's the Year of the Monkey. It's the, you know, it could stink. I don't think it does. I didn't read it for a long time, and just this past week or so, I read through it, and not in order. I just kind of opened up some pages and chapters, and it really flows, man. You guys know the story, but it just, I look at it. Now it seems like a different guy happened to it. It's so long ago now. I look, I say, yeah, all that stuff happened. Then I got to the last chapter. I'm thinking, how's this thing going to end? Wait a minute. I wrote it.
Uh-huh.
So it holds up. And I'm not a literary reader, so if you're listening there, so I don't read books or one of those things, it's real. And that's what my editor said, too. He goes, you're a real guy telling a real story, and it happens to be fascinating. And he said, the bank robbery is just the fluff. He goes, the real thing is everybody's got a best friend, and your best friend puts you in a situation. Do you testify against that best friend?
Oh, sure.
Or you go to prison for something you didn't do. And that's the story.
Yeah.
So it is. I mean, you all have.
Well, I remember when you told the story on the air, we opened up the phones afterwards, people were calling up, calling you names, saying that you never should have turned on your buddy like that. How could you do something like that?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if it's me doing time or Double T doing time, I ain't doing no time.
But the thing is, if you didn't do it, if Double T did it and you didn't, Stone, why would you do that? No offense, Double T, you're
no,
a good
I
guy.
Understand.
But
no.
You rob a bank, I like you. You tell me, you're going to jail. I'm sorry.
Right, instead of
and,
you, yeah.
And if it was switched around, I would expect you to do it to me and
definitely.
You too.
Oh, sure.
That's the thing. And I told him that when this whole thing was going on, I said, if this was reversed, you'd have turned me in a lot sooner than I would have turned you in.
So you start talking about this book, and it gets out there, and all of a sudden you're promoting that you have a book coming out about the monkey in the middle and the bank robbery. Where's Timbo?
I tried Googling him, and he's got a big, long Polish name, which I won't say on the air, but it's pretty unique.
Right.
There's not a lot of people that have his name. So I Googled it. All that came up with, his mother passed away about 3 years ago, and the bank robbery stuff from the... So he doesn't even exist. So if he would have died, I think I would have saw it there. So he might surface.
He's a ghost.
No, I don't know. I mean, but I don't know how he survived all this long.
If he surfaces...
Yeah.
How do you handle it? Do you have any idea? You've had to think about it.
Yes, I have. I still have nightmares about it. I'm not lying. I really do. It's just such a horrible situation that came down. And you guys are nice, but say there's some radio type shows would look him up, fly him in, you know, first class, put him in a hotel, say, okay, we're bringing Dobie to talk about his book, and then they'll bring Timbo in. Like, I'm in here right
sure,
now.
Yeah.
Then they'll bring him in there, and they'll sit you down and say, okay, you two roosters go at it.
Well, guess what, Dobie?
You did it?
No, we didn't.
And I would say, are you happy now? Are you happy?
We would never do that.
No, but I'm saying it would be great radio, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I picture, I look at him and say, okay, you did it. Are you happy? You know, what did you do? You peed your life away. You know, 6.5 years. He got $141,000 in 2 bank robberies divided by 6.5 years. What's that, about $22,000 a year?
Sure.
You can manage a beefaroo, get that
That's
kind of
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
So, it was not a smart thing.
Coming down and writing it, because you're not an author.
Not
That's
an
not
author.
What you do.
No.
What? How did you start writing it? Did you just write it?
Probably 11, 12 years ago, as my birthday is March 14th. It's coming up really quick. On my birthday, why I thought of this, I have no idea. I said, I wonder if I could sit down for 30 days in a row and write one page a day what it's like to be a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, why I thought that, I have no idea. I read the book Ball 4 by Jim Bowden. Mm-hmm. It's a diary of a Major League Baseball season. And I read it when I was in high school. I'm thinking, well, I like to know what it's like to be a baseball player. I bet people would like to know what it's like to be a comedian. I'll see if I can do it for 30 days straight. 9.5 years, I did it every day. And wow. I did a blog. I'm not saying it was Hemingway. Mm-hmm. I got in a lot of trouble, and people didn't like what I said, and blah, blah, blah. But I just wrote for the heart. I said, this is what I think about it. And it was sometimes I did one page, never more than two pages, and I never missed a day.
Was that the Dented Can Diaries?
The Dented Can Diaries, yes. So now if someone said to, okay, you guys, sit down and write 2,500 pages about your life. Oh, my God, that's a prison sentence. I have that. You know, so I did the typical one page a day for 9.5 years, and I got all these stories about that. So I thought, okay, well, if I can write that, and I look at it, I'm a much better writer. Just you have to be by doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know,
practice.
Even a fat guy, you do a couple of sit-ups, you're going to, you know.
You're getting better at sit-ups.
You're getting better every day. You do it for 9 years, you're going to be better about it. So it's one of those things where, okay, I'm kind of a decent, I don't want to say a great writer, but I'm better than I was.
Right, oh,
and I thought, okay, this story needs to come out. I'm going to sit down and crank it out. It's the hardest thing. It's almost 400 pages. You know, if you guys ever have to start early because it's the most complex. Of a life full of hard time projects, that's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Writing a book.
Yeah, this one especially. Because it's so painful to go back there.
Oh, I bet.
You know, you're basically Lance the Boil, and I'm thinking, oh, this hurts so much.
How proud of it are you?
It's my baby. You know, it's like nobody wants to hear about labor pains. They only want to see the baby.
Uh-huh.
And, I thought it came out really well. And it's not just the bank robbery story. There's stories about pro wrestling in there. There's stories about Jeff Foxworthy. I told him he was an idiot. Comedy stories. All the stuff, what it's like to travel on the road. I'm very proud of it. If I die tomorrow, I'll say that's a really good representation of who I am. Yeah.
Dobie Maxwell is our guest. Monkey in the Middle is the name of the book. You're doing a book release party on your birthday.
Yep.
What is that, Monday?
Monday at Zanies.
The one in Chicago, right?
The one in Chicago, yeah. And then downtown. The following week, Shank Hall in Milwaukee. That's the first place I ever got paid to do comedy. So there's two of them back-to-back.
And so people can come out and get the book?
They come out and get the book, or if you just want to go to my website, dobiemaxwell.com. It goes to the publisher, and you can get a pre-order one. I'll sign it. I'll put my thumbprint on it. I'll send you a banana peel. I'll come here. One thing I do, if someone pre-orders, I give them a lifetime pass to come and see me perform live.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. So what's that going to be, twice?
Yeah.
when I'm working in Belvedere at some hellhole, hey, I got a lifetime pass. Come on in. Not buying you beer, but you're getting in.
Do they have to bring the book every time?
No, they don't have to bring anything. They could just lie and say, I bought your book. I'd still let them in.
Dobie Maxwell is our guest. Check out his book. The story is unbelievable. It's Real Rock Radio 104.9 The X. Stone and Double T, Dobie Maxwell. Celebrated author now, Dobie Maxwell. Monkey in the Middle is the name of the book, and they can go to your website, dobiemaxwell.com.
Yep, it's the first thing you find there. You click on it. It's very easy to pre-order, and I greatly appreciate it. If you don't, that's totally cool. If you want to come out to the party, just shake hands and say hey. It's
Monday night, you're going to be at Zanies in downtown.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of just my comedian friends are coming out to have a birthday thing. If you guys know who Ross Bennett is.
Oh, my God. I haven't heard that name in forever.
He's a great guy. He did his first Letterman shot. He was 58 years old. And that never happens. It's like a 35-year-old baseball rookie.
Now, didn't he go by a different name for a while?
Eddie Strange
and Ross Bennett.
Yeah.
Kind of a curly-haired guy was.
Yeah, white guy with what looks like an afro.
Really, really incredibly funny.
Awesome,
very
funny guy.
But very kind of, would you say odd?
Odd, eclectic.
Yeah.
But he's just, you look at him, you can't help but, he's one of the best comics ever.
Yeah.
He's been a mentor to me for many years. When I was on the a radio show out of Indianapolis when I got kicked off the air, he was sitting next to me. And he had been kicked off 20 years before. And he said, I took 20 years to get back in there. I'm on the first time back. My buddy Dobie gets kicked off that same morning. And he did his Letterman thing, and he's had a lot of, you know, Dented Can stories, too. He's had a rough life.
Uh-huh.
He does one of his jokes is, my first wife died, my second one wouldn't. So he raised a son by himself, and he's got a lot of stories, and he's just a hilarious comedian.
Yeah.
He happens to be in Zanies that week, and he said, I'd love to come out to your book signing. So he'll be closing the show. I'll do about an hour's worth of comedians, and then for half an hour, I'll tell a little synopsis of the story. Like you guys, you know, half of it, what happened, like exactly what you did. Let's do a Q&A.
Yeah,
and I know I've got it already planned out. It's like, oh, I'll tell you how it comes out. Oh, we're out of time. If you want to buy a book, they're going to be right down there. But I got a lot of people that are coming out. I got about 50 people that want to just hang out.
No kidding.
So if you want to come out, it won't cost you anything. You send me an email. Say, I heard you on Stone and Double T. I will let you in for free. It's going to be some great comedians.
Nobody ever does that, do they?
One time I did. One time. And they emailed me, and I left tickets, and then it sent it up again. Oh, my kid got sick. I couldn't come out.
Oh, there you go.
But I did get an email. I got one.
Okay.
So if you do, you want to come out, it's totally free.
So what's the next step with this thing? You've got the book out now.
Movie. Who do I want to play Stone and Double T in the movie?
I'm thinking we're not in the movie.
Yes, you are. We're gonna write it in there. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like we all saw Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Well, Joe Pesci's character in Goodfellas was about four different mobsters.
Sure.
When he shot Spider, that was one guy. When funny like a clown, funny, that's another guy. But they made it all one to streamline it. And the same thing, I think my publisher helped me write the screenplay. We already have one, and he streamlined. He made two bank robberies into one, and just strict. I'm too close to it. I couldn't do that. So the point is, we already have a structure, and I think if someone sees it, like, for example, one of the guys coming out this Monday is a guy named Mark Roberts, who's from Champaign-Urbana.
Who was on the new WKRP.
He was on the new WKRP, but he's also the showrunner of, that's the guy in charge behind the scenes of Two and a Half Men and Mike and Molly.
I know Mark Roberts.
He's a multimillionaire. He's done extremely well. I got an email from him. Heard you finally did your book. Can I come out to Zanies on Monday? No, Mark, you can't come out.
No, we don't want you.
So he says, I'm going to buy a book, and he's got millions. You know what? From him, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure.
And he'll look at it, and if that guy doesn't know people, so I've got connections like that. You know what guy named Jake Johansson?
Jake Johansson, yeah. Funny
guy. He's been on Letterman 40 times.
Yeah, sure.
He said the whole time I met him.
So you got all kinds of people
coming. So I'm going out to L.A. on my own expense, and Jake's like, well, come to my house. I do a podcast, and so I'll have you on my podcast. So I'm going to do a million podcasts. Your guys, thank you very much. Hopefully, if there's a link to this, I'll put it on my site.
Yeah,
people will come to yours.
Yeah.
So I appreciate all that, and it's one of those things where just one thing leads to another. I talked to my publisher. He said, every time you get on some media, if you sell 5 or 10 books and it's out there, and then now, never before, it's online forever, so someone sees your name. Oh, I heard about that guy. So usually you do an interview, and it's over with. Now it's out there forever.
Right.
So I appreciate you guys having it. So he said, it might take a while. You're going to do okay. He said 99% of books that are ever written never sell 1,000 copies.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's no question. It's like that with albums, too.
Really?
Yeah. The amount of music that barely sells 1,000 copies or whatnot, it's
awesome.
Unbelievable compared to all that. I mean, because your chances are slim when you do something like
this.
Sure.
But even doing it puts your chances ahead of the average.
Of not doing it.
You
have a better chance of selling a book than I do.
Ha!
I'll tell you.
Well,
that
I mean,
right
you
now.
Think about it too. Like through the years, you've met all these people, and you've told the parts of the story at least.
Yeah.
And then now you've done it. We're all interested. I don't read.
I want to read
the book.
Thank you very much. And you guys are in the thank yous, and I want to say that on the air. You've always supported me, Stone and Double T, right there in the thank yous.
Well, thank you very much.
I appreciate that. No, I do.
And he put us ahead of the guys who kicked him off the radio.
I did. I put it on there because I'm thinking, okay, I'll put it on there. I'll try to make peace, man.
Sure.
They physically threw me out of the building. It's okay. I'll put your name in the book if you don't like it. Okay.
And the joke you told really wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad at all.
Well,
I didn't say fornicatorium.
No.
No.
And you know what? They don't even remember you talk about Doris the Porcupine.
They have no idea.
No
man.
Idea.
Yeah. That's
they wouldn't know the Dead and Can Diaries.
No, not at all.
No, they wouldn't. No, that's the thing. But I think everybody, people driving to work and they listen to radio shows. So it touches people. And you guys, and I mean this sincerely, you have real lives. People try to say, hey, we're this big radio type thing. Life is hard.
Yeah.
It is, man. 99% of people aren't that cute. You're not with the person that you really would like to be. You basically settle for a warm body. You pound out some kids who you think are going to be these super geniuses who all have problems and might smoke a little weed or do what they do, and they're not going to be in the NBA, and you got to just get through, man.
You know what? Here's the thing. Life is, for anybody, is not what it appears to be on the surface.
Not in the brochure. They don't put the stuff that's in there.
Yeah.
And you just got to kind of get through life, and I think those are the real people. I don't know if you guys believe in astrology. I don't know if I believe in astrology. I'm a Pisces. Supposedly the Pisces are the old souls. We've been through the ringer a million times, and we're just kind of finishing up and putting the polish on before we go to Nirvana or hell or wherever the next world is. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I was old even when I was young. My grandpa said, he goes, you're an old soul, man. You've been through the ranks. I was never, you never talked to me gee gee goo goo like a kid. Never. I always talked to me like an adult even when I was 5. And I think we all have a different, set of words. Think about that when you're 16, 17, you think you know everything. Isn't that frightening now? Look at a 16 and 17-year-old. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite line was when you're 18, you can't believe how stupid your parents are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're 24, you can't believe how much they learned in 6 years.
Totally true, man.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of those things. Dude, congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. I couldn't be any more thankful.
Look, we can sit here and we've talked about books. We've talked about authors. We've talked about everything. This guy deserves to have you go read his book and to go download it, to go buy it. Go to DobieMaxwell.com. The story is fascinating. The writer is fascinating. He's been a part of the program for years, and dude, we appreciate everything.
Thank you guys very much. I might need to jump on the way out. My check engine light was
hold on, hold on.
I'm not rich
hold on,
yet.
Hold on. How much was this car? That's because you don't believe in spending a lot of money for cars.
No, I don't.
Do you still have the same philosophy on cars?
I do. I had my buddy loan me this one. This, I don't know how much time I got. I'll do it in under a minute.
No, you're good.
But I had a Volvo that I bought for $1,000 from a comedian friend of mine. And if you ever tried to fix the exhaust on a Volvo, the space shuttle is cheaper to put a muffler than it is on a Volvo. So I didn't know it. I had the emissions test at Wisconsin Plates, and they pulled me over. They said, you didn't get emissions. You expired plates. I said, well, I didn't think I needed it. It's 16 years old. No, they used to be 15 years old. Now they extended it. We're going to give you a ticket, $175. Okay. Wow. But if you get it fixed, they'll get rid
take
of it.
The ticket.
So then 3 days later, I got another one in Wisconsin. Coming back from a gig, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, another $175. Okay. A week after that, I get one in Illinois. You got your expired plates. I know, officer, I've got two tickets. Well, I got to write you a third one. You got to go to court. So you see what happens. The first one I go, I bought a different car. My buddy loaned me some money. I got a Toyota Camry. It was $2,000 to fix the exhaust on a, you know, the catalytic converter came from, you know, Guatemala. Who knows where it came from? So they said, okay, you got a different car. Everything's fixed. Okay, ticket erased. Next one, 3 days later, went up to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's 5 in the morning. Get there at 8 o'clock. Yes, ticket erased. Go to Illinois. It's $175 fine plus court cost $432.
Nice.
$432. I don't even live in your state. Well, I don't care. You're going to, you did it, broke the law, blah,
welcome
blah, blah.
Welcome to Illinois.
So my point is, with the Illinois ticket, I'm going to have to pay the whole thing. And well, I'm giving you 4 months to pay. And I had a sign to get out. If I wouldn't have signed, I would have had a warrant out. So thank you, Illinois.
Wow.
400, how many books am I going to have to sell?
A lot.
And the judge is Mr. Smarmy. You know, Mr. Dimple Chin, daddy paid for his college. He's not one of us.
Sure.
He's not a Stone and Double T listener.
No, not at all.
He's not on a low budget.
Well, that's the thing. I got right in his face. I said, you know what? I come from a state where we have a good football team, and we don't have toll roads, and our governor's not in jail. So thank you, everyone. And the bailiff had to come split it up.
I said,
what are you going to do? Are you going to take me away? I don't have any warrants. I don't have any criminal record, anything like that. Yeah. Now, what about this? What if I don't pay the fine? Someone listening has got a $432 fine. Can I go to jail with 10 days? I mean, was that, again, I break it up. There's $43 a day.
Yeah, sure.
I'll eat your bologna sandwiches.
Exactly, $43. That's cheaper than a hotel, man.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, next time we could be doing a live remote from jail.
Dobie Maxwell.
Thank you, guys.
Get on out and check out his book.